Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We like hanging out with you. And please take the opportunity to go to our website, www.theunionedge.com. You can sign up for our e-activist newsletter. If you're local or your organization needs some help, we'll get the word out for you. If you're willing to help, we'll get the word to you. It's called Solidarity. We're all in this together. We're all working real hard to improve our communities. And guess what? We're doing a good job. Folks, it's with great pleasure that I get to introduce a friend of this program, Ron Baker of the Bakers Union, BCTGM. And Ron, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Charles. I certainly appreciate it. And you guys have been doing a great job. Great job for labor and a great job helping us in this campaign, too, I want you to know.
Man, we must be doing something right. We got you in studio.
Well, I'll tell you.
I'm trying to feed you. I'm trying to get you something to drink.
Well, we've been friends for a long time. But we just never met
right.
each other in person. That's
right.
all. So
you know, the only time you and I have been in a room together at the same time was at down in Virginia. We were at Dan Duncan's Northern Virginia Area Labor Federation dinner together. We were sitting at the table. There was a politician there. I can't remember.
Yeah. That's right. I don't remember either. Yep.
There was a politician there. But in any case, so this is wonderful, and we're glad you're here. As a matter of disclaimer, years and years and years ago when I was a young man, I did work for Nabisco here in the greater Pittsburgh area at the factory there. And I got to tell you, after 2 weeks of eating Chips Ahoy right off the oven, chocolate so hot it burns your tongue, I still haven't touched a Chips Ahoy since, but that's another story. You can wear yourself out. But you brought some people with you today.
I did. As a matter of fact, I brought with me our Chicago organizer, Mr. Nate Zeff, who is here with us today, as well as one of our Nabisco 600 tour members, which is Anthony Jackson, who was actually laid off from Nabisco on March the 23rd as they sent his and about 400 or 500 other people's jobs to Salinas, Mexico.
Man, I'll tell you what. This is, well, guys, first of all, thank you for being here. We really, really appreciate it. We really, really appreciate your efforts. And I got to say, I know from talking to my friends, my family, and people in the stores, okay, I'm actually talking to my 16-year-old son, showing him how to find out whether or not these Oreos, and yes, he's an Oreo junkie, are made in the United States or they're made overseas, or not overseas, but in Mexico. And a woman who was in the aisle heard the conversation. And she said, "Why are they moving production?" And I said, "Well, probably money. They think they're going to make more money." That doesn't help us. Doesn't help the people getting laid off.
Right. Right. I'll just start and then I'll let these guys pick up. But yeah, it is about the money, but here's the sad state of affairs. Not only does it impact people in Chicago whose jobs are lost to Salinas, Mexico, but it also impacts the people in Salinas, Mexico who are being exploited because of their low wages and literally no benefits.
Right.
Now, the one thing about it is, you talk about profits, they are not changing the price that they charge at the retailer for these. There's definitely expanded profit margin, and where's it going? Right in the pocket of the same person who made the decision to send it south.
And Ron, one of the things I got to toss out there, you are not opposed to manufacturing going on to Mexico. As a matter of fact, BCTGM represents people that manufacture in Mexico, yes?
Well, we're not opposed to manufacturing in Mexico as long as it's for the Mexican consumer.
There you go.
But you should not be taking American jobs, manufacturing processed foods in Mexico and shipping it across the border in order to have it resold here.
Right. You know, and that's the problem here. There has not been any problems with the manufacturing process, the end product, the people, the plant, anything. This is purely a financial decision. Yeah,
it is a financial decision, and I'll let Nate and Anthony actually elaborate on that. But the financial decision is, how much money can we squeeze out of every package of produced product in order to put it in the pockets of the CEOs and the board of directors?
Yeah, you know, this wasn't out of cost cutting necessity. I mean, this is a very profitable company, a $35 billion corporation. And, you know,
that's
they're
billion.
$35 billion corporation, multinational corporation. And they're really just chasing and exploiting low-wage labor wherever they can. And right now it's Mexico, but it could be anywhere next.
It could be Vietnam in 6 months if they could put the plant together.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the problem.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, and Anthony can tell you this, Charles. I mean, exactly what they experienced in the bakery, in the last 3 years, and how things changed there, and how you could actually see it coming from a distance. This change.
Well, first of all, I'll tell you, when they came there, the attitude of management became more disrespectful. One of the most disrespectful things I've ever seen in any job is they gave us a shirt that said, "I work for biscuits." The only people who work for biscuits, or the only things that work for biscuits, are dogs.
Yeah.
My pet works for biscuits. I give him a milk bone for that. Humans don't work for biscuits.
Right, or peanuts.
And they gave us these shirts when they first took over. They were letting us know then that they didn't see us as human beings. They saw us as just a dollar, as their pets, as their way of ends to a means, basically. Right now, the CEO makes 300 times what we make hourly. Yet she's still looking to find someone cheaper. So she's going to Mexico to find someone who makes 15 times less than what we make. And that's just ridiculous.
That is a huge problem. And let me kind of clarify this. You're a manufacturer. You make things. You make food.
Yes.
Okay. You're unionized.
Yes.
You've been doing it for a while.
Yes, for 5 years now.
You're probably midway, you know, between the bottom of that pay scale and the top of the pay scale. But I'd be willing to bet you're not making 50 grand a year.
Honestly, without overtime, we make close to that amount a year.
Okay. So we're not talking you're making $100,000 or $200,000 a year.
No.
We're not talking about that. Hey, 50 grand a year.
Low middle class.
That's middle class.
Yes.
That's where you're skimping to save enough money to put the kids through college.
Right.
This is not unreasonable.
No. Especially when we have a CEO who makes over $20 million a year.
Well, the other thing, too, Charles, is the I will tell you, and we can see it from American politics today or whatever, but there is a change in the wind out here where the American consumer, as well as the American worker and people out in the general public are saying they're tired of being the ones to pay all the bills and being the ones to stand last in line when it comes to any economic benefits.
Right. And Ron, you know, you and I have both been in the labor movement long enough. We have seen some really bad times. Okay.
Yep.
We've seen some better times. Right now, there is not just within the labor movement, but in the general public, there is a watershed of change coming. And when we come back, let's talk about that, and let's talk about why it is so important that not only do we have unionized people in the community that are out there talking about it, but educating everybody else on what's really going on, not what the opposition wants you to believe.
Sounds great.
I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us today. Hey, in studio today with us, we've got Ron Baker. He's the Strategic Campaign Coordinator. Man, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
That's almost as bad as a Bakery, Confectionery, Tobacco Workers, Grain Millers International Union.
That's a mouthful, isn't it, Sean?
It is. We got to shorten that. How about BCTGL?
There you go.
There we go. I like this. But we're talking about Nabisco Oreo Cookies Mondelez, which another thing I learned today. I was under the impression that Mondelez was a Mexican company that had bought up a portion of Nabisco. Uh-huh. Oops. What's the real deal?
Well, the real deal is, while it sounds like a Mexican name, it's kind of a conglomeration of, I don't know how they put it together, but they are a U.S.-based corporation, an American corporation. It's located in North Deerfield, Illinois.
Not Tijuana.
Not Tijuana. Their preference seems to be Mexican labor and Mexican-made products, but we're here to change all that.
Where do they get their fire protection from?
Well, they get it from the city up in Deerfield.
And their
Deerfield.
Cop protection?
Absolutely.
And the roads and bridges around them are?
All the infrastructure paid for proudly by U.S. Citizens, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
So, but we're on a tour. There's 26 places we're going to hit within the next 2 weeks, from Maine to Arizona to Florida or whatever. And we've cobbled together. We've had a coalition for 6 months, and Anthony's been Jackson has been a big part of that. So he can tell you about people we're working with across the country, including your show and others across the U.S.
So who are you reaching out to? Who are you educating?
We're reaching out to all consumers because the 99% is who we want to reach. The 1% has been doing this for too long now, so we want to reach the 99%. We work with groups like Fight for 15, Jobs for Justice, and other groups because this fight is bigger than just Mondelez.
Right.
This fight is for Americans, really, for our way of life. We want to make sure that everyone can go to school, can put their kids through school, can get an education, and can have a family life that is not based on when you'll get food stamps or when you'll get low-income housing. We want to be able to provide for ourselves.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Before you started working for Nabisco Mondelez.
Yes.
Have you been in a union before?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So you're familiar with the union. When you're out there talking to people about why this is a problem, that Mondelez is taking 600 jobs and shipping them down to Mexico, do they get it? Does the average person in the community get it?
The average person does get it. We're grateful for that. We want to express this to more people to understand exactly what's going on.
What's the reaction when they get it?
The reaction is very positive. We get a lot of people who didn't know what was going on, didn't know how to check the labels. So we're basically teaching them how to check the labels, make sure it is made in America. We teach them how to check code dates and also the UPC codes to check for make sure American things, and also to check with fightforjobs.org or fightforamericanjobs.org. I'm sorry,
fightforamericanjobs.org. So, and Ron, I know what you're going to say. Not trying to educate people on how to do that right now, but what we can do is send everybody to fightforamericanjobs.org.
Yep.
Yes.
fightforamericanjobs.org. It has all the information on how you can figure out whether or not you take that pack of Oreo cookies with you or leave it on the shelf.
Right, and this even as early as this morning, and Nate can elaborate on that because he and Anthony were down there. They took the time before the show to go to a Walmart and to actually check the labels. So you want to tell them how you did it there. So.
Yeah, Anthony and I were just in a grocery store earlier today and spoke with the store manager there. Looked at the cookie and cracker aisle. And that's a big part of this tour that we're on. We want a big educational component is telling people about this national boycott we have endorsed by the AFL-CIO, how to go into stores, look at the packages, talk to your store manager, tell them you don't want to see the Made in Mexico stuff on the shelves anymore, and really just support the stores that support you.
Right, right. And that conversation, even if it's not a union store, the managers oftentimes are very, very susceptible to one of the customers coming to them and saying, hey, you know what? Please don't carry this because. Or please only carry these because.
And I think that's a reaction you all got this morning, wasn't
it? Yeah, we've gotten surprisingly positive reactions from different grocery store managers.
And anybody can do that.
Anybody can do it. You know, we have power as consumers. When you go into a store and you buy something, it's the same as a vote, you know? And just what you buy, if we're all conscious consumers and, you know, support companies that do the right thing, then we can really make a difference at the cash register.
Right, absolutely. And you know, it's funny because one of my favorite grocery stores here in town, it's a UFCW store. It's unionized. And I had that conversation with the manager. Now, this is the same manager that I've gone to a number of times. He knows me. He sees me coming and said, you know what? You need to have more baggers on the line, or you need to have more people on register at 7 o'clock in the morning when I'm coming through, because I'm coming through every day and there's other people here getting breakfast, getting stuff for the day, so on and so forth. I came up to him. I walked up to him, and he kind of went, oh, no. And I said, oh, it's a good one. And I explained the whole Oreo cookie thing to him. And he says, you know what? I can't promise you anything other than the fact that I will take that up the chain. Mm-hmm. And that's all I got to do. All I got to do is build awareness. And when we talk to other people about it in the store, or our friends, our neighbors, so on and so forth, I've got a 16-year-old son that checks. And then he told his buddies about it, and they're checking too.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you mentioned that, Charles. I put on a talk for some retirees down in Washington, D.C. about 2 weeks ago. And as I passed out the stuff, the one woman said that her and her grandson have done this for 3 weeks. So people understand it. Mm-hmm. It's easy to do, but it's a big impact on the other end.
Right. Ron, when I've called their customer service, and I very politely say, you know, don't do this. The poor woman who was the operator said, yeah, we've heard this one a couple of times. What is the feedback that you're hearing now from the company?
Well, I mean, you know, these corporations generally don't want to ever let you see them sweat, right? But I will tell you, if you look on the Oreo, their own Oreo Facebook page, I would say that 9 out of 10 comments on that page are about Mexican-made products and their displeasure, consumer displeasure.
Wait a second. They have a Facebook page?
Oreo has a Facebook page. Yes,
Oreo has a Facebook
page. Yes, with actually 42 million followers.
42 million followers.
Yes.
And we highly recommend that everybody goes to that page, checks it out, and leaves a comment or two.
Hey, hold on a second. Laura, can you make a comment for us about Oreo having a page? And thank you. We don't have 42 million followers, but we got a bunch.
Yeah.
And we'll get that out there. 42 million followers on Oreos.
I love
Oreos, too.
Yeah,
but
I do, too. Yeah, I do, too.
But that's why I want them made in America.
Yeah, exactly.
By people in Chicago. Well, closer. You know, so... Ron, we continue with the education process. We keep talking to people. You're saying don't let the company doesn't want you to see them sweating, but
right.
Well, I hope they are.
One thing about it we do know. They may not have a social conscience, but they certainly have a conscience when it comes to their bank account. And what's in that bank compared to what they can, how they perform financially, is the most important thing for them, and consumers can impact them very readily by withholding those consumer dollars.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah. And you guys have been to the shareholders meetings.
Was it the shareholders meeting? Anthony was actually inside. It'd be interesting for you to say about what the question you asked on the inside there.
Well, basically, I asked her because our CEO has a golden parachute package where she is going to be paid for 2 years, have health insurance for 2 years, and gets this big pension of $35 million if she's let go for no reason at all. So I asked her, I said, why can't the company give us, those who are laid off, the same package? And you could see she was frustrated. She was visibly frustrated, and she basically just blew us off. Because she was frustrated and didn't know exactly how to answer the question.
Right.
It's a situation where we're looking to be treated like human beings, basically.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know why you can't organize a Costco? Because they treat their people great.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They take care of their people. That's why you can't organize a Costco. But when you have an organization that doesn't treat their people well, game on.
And the other thing, Charles, with respect to all this, they're not only sending U.S. Manufacturing jobs, they're also sending their white-collar jobs overseas. They're actually moving every segment of their U.S. workforce. They're trying to downsize.
What's that going to do to the tax base up there?
Oh, tax base. It'll destroy the tax base. The services that come from the public and tax dollars will be diminished. And as jobs go down, crime rises.
Right. Well, and Ron, Let me ask you another question. How long has that plant been there?
Oh, that plant has been there for over 60 years.
Over 60 years.
And they've made those
products. That community's been there for Nabisco and Mondelez.
Cousins, fathers, mothers, yeah. Sisters, brothers, all work
there. 3 or 4 generations through.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I get it. I get it.
Yep.
I get it. Guys, I want to thank you very much for being here today. Very quickly, what do you give you a last word?
All right, everybody, when you go into stores, be a conscious consumer. Support stores that support American workers and don't buy made in Mexico Nabisco products.
I want to thank you all, first of all, for listening to us, and I want you to check the labels and go to fightforamericanjobs.org. Remember, fightforamericanjobs.org.
And last thing I got to say is don't eat what an American worker doesn't make.
There you go. There you go. Guys, hats off to you. Keep up the good fight. You got a lot of people out there rooting for you, a lot of people doing what they can do. Ron, I want to ask you this very seriously. Mm-hmm. Any final thing that the listening public can do to help?
Yeah, they can just be focused and be committed to this. Don't think that it might not be a short time situation, but if we stick together, we can make a change that changes for every company's policies out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're not new to this dance. You've done this before.
I've done it for about 35 years now. Yeah.
So this can be done. This can be stopped. The damage can be reversed. The community can be supported. Americans can get their jobs back, and we can be eating American-made Oreos.
Absolutely, and the company makes a profit, and the communities benefit.
You know, God bless them. The company should make a profit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and quite frankly, I know the CEO's making a boatload of cash. Who cares?
That's
okay. My thing is, we've got Americans that have been making these Oreo cookies for over 60 years here in the United States.
Yep.
And you're going to shift that tradition.
Right.
For a couple of bucks.
Yep.
I mean, because they can't be that much cheaper.
Well, really. If you look at the comments, they're destroying their brand by even thinking about doing it.
And like I said, I used to work for Nabisco here in Pittsburgh. We used to make the best saltine crackers here in the country. They shipped them off. They changed it. Quality control fell through. Make them here in the United States, yep. Folks.
Thank you. Thank you, Charles.
I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.